KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkin out to Castle Cape, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, northwest winds 25 knots, sea 7 feet with rain. Tonight, west winds 25 knots, sea 6 feet. And Thursday, west winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, today northwest winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. And Thursday, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sereshev, today northwest winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. And Thursday, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. Port Hyden and Nelson Lagoon, today west winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet with patchy fog. Tonight, west winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. And Thursday, west winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sereshev, today northwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet with patchy fog. Tonight, west winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. And Thursday, west winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, isolated showers, mostly sunny with highs near 45. Northwest winds around 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20. Tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 38. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20. And Thursday, mostly sunny with highs near 46. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There is a high tide at 4:50 a.m. at 8 foot 1 inch. A low at 12:12, a minus tide of 1 foot 8 inches. A high at 7:06 p.m. at 5 foot 6 inches. And a low at 11:42 p.m. at 3 feet 3 inches. Your sun rose at 6:05 this morning, and your sun will set at 11:16, giving us 17 hours and 11 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, a burning cargo ship was abandoned 300 miles southwest of Adak yesterday. And fisheries managers meet this week to discuss changes to the controversial midwater trawl fishery. All of that and more coming up.
ALU is proud to sponsor the stories and voices that connect our community. ALU is committed to building a stronger future for our region. To learn more about ALU's commitment for a stronger future, visit alucorp.com.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. It's Wednesday, June 4th, 2025. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi with some local news. The U.S. Coast Guard is responding to a cargo ship that caught fire near Adak yesterday. The crew was evacuated with no injuries reported. A Coast Guard representative says all 22 crew members aboard the Morning Midas were evacuated onto a Good Samaritan vessel, the Malta-flagged Costco Hellas. The Midas crew is expected to remain aboard the Costco Hellas as it continues towards its final destination in Panama. Coast Guard aircraft crews responded to the fire, which took place about 300 miles southwest of Adak. The 600-foot Liberia-flagged Midas was carrying thousands of vehicles to Mexico from China when the fire broke out. It's operated by London-based shipping company Zodiac Maritime. Zodiac representatives say they will focus on salvaging the vessel. A tugboat was deployed to support those efforts, as well as firefighting needs. In a statement, Zodiac representatives say, quote, "The crew immediately initiated emergency firefighting procedures using the vessel's onboard fire suppression systems. However, despite their efforts, the situation could not be brought under control," end quote. Company representatives say their priorities are to ensure crew safety and protect the marine environment. The Midas is carrying around 3,000 vehicles, 800 of which are electric. The regional council that manages Alaska's federal fisheries is expected to make changes this weekend at the Midwater Trawl Fishery that could improve management and conservation efforts. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council will meet tomorrow and into the weekend to discuss changing the definition of gear used in the fishery. The council says the changes are meant to improve compliance and enforcement in the fishery without requiring harvesters to make any immediate changes to their nets or other gear. The changes could instead allow boats to use certain tools that limit unwanted incidental catch and monitor seafloor contact. The council has been discussing these changes for about 2 years. They stem from a larger ongoing debate around whether or not the fishery could be considered midwater. Pelagic trawling uses nets designed to harvest midwater and surface fish. The current federal pelagic crawl gear definition does not include any mention of bottom contact limitations. Despite being designed for midwater use, though, parts of the large nets often make contact with the seafloor. This discrepancy has become a controversial topic in some industry debates, and fisheries managers have acknowledged that the so-called midwater nets sometimes drag on the ocean floor and potentially harm species and important habitats. This month's agenda item has attracted quite a bit of attention. Nearly 100 stakeholders have already submitted letters to the council on the topic, many urging the council to protect seafloor habitats, and some asking them to recategorize the fishery entirely. Council members will take up the discussion and hear public testimony over the weekend in Newport, Oregon. They will also take a look at creating a program to limit access in the pot cod fishery. Understanding how sea ice breaks up in the spring can mean life or death for Northwest Arctic residents who use it for traveling. As KOTZ's Desiree Hagen reports, a new study using specialized technology and local knowledge hopes to better predict how and when the ice will break apart.
Every year, there's a reoccurring weak spot on the ice around Kotzebue in an area known as Kobuk Lake. It's well known by locals, but its cause hasn't been clear. Zhashu Zhang is trying to fill in the gaps.
Many community members notice this crack, and it seems to be coming up year after year. And they don't really understand why it forms in this particular way.
Zhang is a co-lead on a project surveying sea ice from the air. She's still working on an answer for why the crack develops, but has a working theory that has to do with where the ice forms at the beginning of the season. Beyond that one weak spot, she says that the research is important for developing models that will help both locals and the Arctic as a whole.
This is a very new type of model which simulates each piece of the ice flow, like little polygons moving around. So when I first saw that model, I said, oh, this is really cool. It can be really useful for coastal communities.
The project is called Arctic Air. The AIR stands for Airborne Investigations and Research. Zhang's team uses aircraft to conduct a variety of surveys, from looking at ocean color to determine potential algal blooms to measuring sea ice using specialized cameras.
What we want to do is to combine observation, modeling capabilities, and also indigenous knowledge, and try to develop a new ice model that can help predict the ice breakup timing.
Zhang's team conducted the surveys in a twin otter plane owned by NOAA, with nearly a dozen pieces of specialized equipment in a customizable bay in the aircraft's floor. One of the team's specialized tools is a hyperspectral camera, which can capture a range of data, less like a photograph and more like a block of images, with information undetectable to the human eye.
Like, for example, if you look at something by your eye, you're looking at the visible band, and it's just like one picture of that thing. But for a hyperspectral camera, what it looks like, it's like a whole spectrum, like at visible and near infrared.
Zhang says the ideal time for researchers to monitor the ice is when it's moving around, and that they have to plan the trip several months in advance. This year, they arrived in mid-May. That was a little early for breakup, which started later than normal.
We were looking back the past 25 years. So this year is like relatively late. And it has been pretty late in the past 2-3 years in a row.
Still, Zhang says her team was able to get information about ice features and terrain, which can help improve their models for when they return next year. They also worked with several community members who shared their observations about weather and ice conditions. Zhang Liu is a research scientist on the project. He says he hopes the project will include more input from the local community, like measurements of ice when people are out ice fishing.
Because the purpose of this research is to provide some sea ice breakup forecast for the community, so it makes people safer to fish, to hunt over the ice. We really appreciate the community members can provide some in-situ data for us, like taking the ice thickness and measure the ocean sea condition.
The researchers say they hope to be back next year to collect more data that can inform both locals and the scientific community about how, when, and where the ice will break. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
Speaking of sea ice, the Museum of the Aleutians will open its new exhibit, Aleutian Mysteries, The Science and Story of Unalaska's Sea Ice, this Friday evening from 6 o'clock to 8. This all-ages event explores the scientific and cultural significance of sea ice in the Unalaska region through the museum's changing gallery. Let's take a look at more community events happening this week. The Museum of the Aleutians is hosting a commemorative open house today. Museum admissions will be free to honor those who served and to remember the impact of World War II on Aleutian communities. Youth wrestling camp kicked off earlier this week in the high school small gym. Coach Rainier Marquez is teaching future Raider wrestlers the fundamentals of wrestling until Friday from 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon each day. Kids from kindergarten through 8th grade are welcome. Learn about basic soil management and composting in the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands with an hour-long class this evening from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The class will be held via Zoom from 5:30 to 6:30. Register online in advance. The link is available at the community calendar. Deacon Anthony Lukanoff will present Russian Orthodox vestments on loan from the Orthodox Diocese of Sitka and Alaska at the Unalaska Public Library this Thursday evening from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. This Museum of the Aleutians showcase offers a rare opportunity to view these ceremonial pieces in person and learn about their significance in Orthodox traditions. Friday is the deadline to register for this year's Camp Kungayu. The annual cultural camp is open to youth in 4th through 12th grade. You can call the Cowlingan Tribe at 907-581-2920 for more information. And for more information on all these events and more, check out the community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSTP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an administrative assistant. The Shimigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a bartender and a janitor. The Palof Harbor Tribe is looking for a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is looking for a part-time pull-tab sales assistant. The King Cove Department of Public and Safety is looking to hire a certified police officer. Interested applicants can contact the King Cove PD at 907-497-2210. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Community announcements. Sandpoint, we hope to see you all at KSDP's Kickoff to Summer Barbecue. That'll be today at the First Gear Shed in the Harbor at 4 o'clock. We'll have food, music, raffles, and door prizes. And today is June 4th, 2025. Happy birthday to Carla Chebidnoy, and happy birthday to Art Holmberg. And that's all for the Community Window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Schumigan Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Schumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Schumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.schumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Schumigan Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.
a girl on a train last night, and let me tell you now, she was girl bound. Oh, I kissed the pretty girl and I held her tight. Let me tell you now, she was girl bound. And now, no matter what I tried to do, my mind's drifting back to you. Are you happy? I wanna tell you I love you.
doesn't sleep, and he don't come home for half a week. You know, it's more than just an aggravation.
Junior's grades.
Causing some dissension. You are listening to KSDP Radio, 830 AM, Sandpoint, 88.1 FM on Transway K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang. Screwed up eyes and screw down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. Became on so loaded, man, well hung in snow white tan. Time, jiving us that we were voodoo. The kids were just crass. He was the Nats with God-given ass. He took it all too far, but boy, could he play guitar. Making love with his ego, sick ass. Ziggy played guitar.
Yeah.